Now, after services were over and the halls were cleared up on the day of Pentecost, my wife and I went off to Margate to begin a 2-week stay with my wife's sister and her husband. Travelling eastward on the M4 between 6:30 and 8:30 on the evening was not much fun, even on a Sunday evening. The road appeared to be fairly busy, and there were stops and starts for no apparent reason. We knew that we'd be unable to complete the journey to Margate on that evening, so we had booked into a travel lodge at Cheveley, that's between Reading and Newbury, and we stayed the night there. The following morning, that would be the 5th of June, was a lovely sunny morning. We began the final leg of our journey to Margate, mainly driving along the road known as the A272. That runs basically from Winchester through to Lewes, that sort of area. It's a road that we've known quite well from the time that we'd lived in Kent and Sussex. And the road itself looked reasonably familiar. There were, of course, a few more houses here and there, and a multitude of mini roundabouts, which made the road look quite peculiar in many places. Now, considering the fact that there's a drought in the southeast of England, everywhere looked beautifully green. And the trees on the side of the road had become much taller than I seem to remember them. And that was from 18 years ago. However, when we arrived at Canterbury, I began to notice a large number of changes in scenery. Canterbury itself had become much busier and was much more bustling place. Now, possibly that had something to do with the fact that it was 3:30 in the afternoon and the schools were chucking out their children all over the place, you know, the children here, there and everywhere, mums and dads picking their children up, and Canterbury really was a nightmare to get through. But it only took us about 10 minutes from one side of Canterbury to the other, because it's not a very large place, but even so, it was a very busy place. We had to watch the roads very, very carefully. Now, between Canterbury and Birchington, the scenery reverted to something which looked vaguely familiar, even after all these years. But when we entered Birchington and drove the remaining 4 miles or so to the house that my wife was born in, we began to see dramatic changes in the surroundings. The Margate of my youth was no more, and the area that I had left 18 years ago had changed almost beyond recognition. Margate and its posh end, Cliftonville, used to be a familiar family holiday destination for many thousands of people. And that was each year until the mid-1960s, or perhaps even the 1970s. But now, gone are the seaside hotels and guest houses, to be replaced by a motley collection of social security bed and sit establishments, and also apartment blocks have replaced the hotels. North Down Road was once the elite shopping centre of Cliftonville, and that, as I say, had been replaced now by a collection of charity shops, estate agents, solicitors' offices, and cheap junk shops. And when I walked down North Down Road a day or so later, I was amazed that I only recognised 5 or 6 names from all those years ago from a road which is a mile long. And also, I heard a variety of foreign languages which testified to the claim that the southeast of England has become the immigrant mecca of England. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I'd like to show the progression of development from the 1950s until now, and then on into the future, because it's when we are taken out of our familiar surroundings and thrust back into them some 2 decades later that the scale of change really becomes apparent. It becomes so stark that it's almost overwhelming, and it brings home the need for God's kingdom very, very soon. Now, apart from the changes that I saw when walking along the shopping streets and where the family holiday hotels and guest houses had been, the residential area had completely changed. At one time, one could say with a degree of certainty that Margate began at such and such a point and stretched to another discernible point some miles along. But now, it is very, very different, and you cannot easily say that is the case anymore. Now, I'd like you to turn with me now, please, to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, whilst I was in Margate, I did quite a bit of walking, that's while I stayed with my sister and her husband. And in the 2 weeks that we were there, we were treated quite handsomely, actually, by my wife's sister. And we were taken around by them all over the area. And one of the things that really struck me was a number of new houses that had sprung up during the intervening years. You can now drive from Margate to Kingsgate to Broadstairs and on to into Ramsgate by almost any route and not find a gap in the houses that line the side of the roads. In Isaiah chapter 5 verse 8 we read the following: "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there is no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." In addition to the housing development that has taken place at Westwood Cross, that is directly between Margate and Ramsgate, there once stood only two buildings that I recall, and that was the Rediffusion Transmission Building, where the television and radio was relayed to the places all around in Margate and the adjoining towns, and a small factory that was operated by Pierce Signs. We now find a huge shopping area there covering several acres where large national retailers sell their wares. In addition, there are two giant superstores and several other large warehouse-sized retail units. And then on the eastern side of where this area is, they plan to build another 6,000 houses. Now, there was a news item on the news some weeks ago, didn't relate to the area where I'm talking about, but to a small area bordering a river near Reading in Berkshire. And the proposed development there was to build 25 houses to the acre. Now, making allowance for service roads, my estimate is that each plot will be an area of less than 1,500 square feet, which means that each plot will have to have a house on it, and by the time you put the house on it and made a parking area or a garage, there's going to be precious little space for children to play in or for people to go out and sit down and enjoy God's nature. Now, in addition to all this, East Kent suffers from being naturally the driest part of the country, the United Kingdom. It is the rainfall there is comparatively small when put in comparison to, say, West Wales. I mean, West Wales has about twice the amount of rain that East Kent has. And there is, at the present time, a hosepipe ban. Now, there is also, as a result of this, there's also the possibility that there will be standpipe water distribution in that area this year, unless there is a substantial amount of rainfall in the relative short term. And they're going to build 6,000 houses in this particular area. It just makes the mind boggle. The planners simply are not planning or making allowance for this particular eventuality. But river development and water shortages are not the only problems for the Isle of Thanet. On almost every house that I looked at, there was a little red box, very, very conspicuously placed. And on this red box was a name advertising the people who had actually installed this particular alarm system. Now, in addition to that, some of these houses actually had little notices saying closed circuit television systems in operation. So not only were they having these alarm systems there, but they're actually having television surveillance systems in operation as well. And I'd like you to turn with me now to Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1. Now, it didn't matter that the property concerned was merely a small two-bedroom bungalow. That house still sported an alarm. And there were some, as I say, that additionally had little notice saying closed circuit television systems, television surveillance in operation. Now, in a conversation between my wife and sister-in-law, many times they have mentioned the fact there have been robberies in the road where my sister and her husband lived. And this little road, I mean, it's only about, 200 or 300 yards long at the very most. And it's a quiet residential area. And yet, innocent householders are being targeted by criminals. Career criminals are preying on innocent householders, many of whom are retirees, and there is a growing number of these people who are in their twilight years. Now, Hosea chapter 7, verse 1 reads as follows. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and a thief comes in, and the troop of robbers spoils without. The troop of robbers aren't always spoiling without. They're in the gardens, in the houses, and virtually everywhere. An area that used to be a quiet, peaceful suburb of a holiday town now resounds to the sound of police sirens. Again, these are not the only problems there, or indeed across the rest of the United Kingdom. As I explore my old haunts, I could not help but see the notices advertising the local newspaper headlines. And some of these stories referred to a young thug who had beaten his father unconscious, and he was given a community service order as punishment. Now, I'd like you to turn me now to Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 23. The headline that I just referred to was not the only story of violence covered in these papers, but it was one of many that portrays a nation that had forgotten what justice demands in cases such as these. The victim's situation was made that much worse by the fact that the incident was not the first time that the father had been beaten up by the son, nor had the son been before the courts on just one, on that one occasion, but he had been taken before the courts on several occasions for criminally violent actions. And it makes you wonder what a criminal has to do to be considered worthy of a custodial sentence. And here in Ezekiel chapter 7 verse 23 we read the following: make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. As I said earlier, the town that I once knew as a lad has long gone. It was a town where young and old could walk the streets without fear of molestation. And as I looked around, I saw a town that had become depressed economically. It was no longer the destination for the multiple thousands of family holidaymakers. The Lido swimming pool that was once filled with happy families cavorting about in the water was now filled with sand and concrete. The theatre there at the Lido had been demolished, making way for a small car park. And many of the beaches were closed to swimmers, so that motorboats could be launched and cruise from those beaches. In many ways, my return to Margate was a depressing eye-opener to the facts of 21st century life. Houses have been built one after the other, with many more planned. Properties are regularly broken into, and crime and violence in that area are now commonplace. I thought about the past, and then the present, and my thoughts turned to the future and a prayer: thy kingdom come. And then to Micah chapter 4 verse 4. Because the homes the people live in will be real family homes then, where people will live and work together as family units. There will be no more indiscriminate ribbon building, ribbon developments. There will be no more need for burglar alarms, and parents will no longer be subject to violence from their children or from anywhere else. And Micah chapter 4 verse 4 reads as follows: but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of Hosts has spoken it.